This is Fantasy Book Club.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Book Club. This is the Internet's Book Club, and just by listening, you'll remember. My name is Colton Pratt.
And I am David Pratt.
That's my grandfather's name.
It's also your middle name.
Oh, yeah, it is. I was like, who are you mimicking? And the only person I could think of was my grandpa.
No, my name is Sydney Lyerly, actually.
I'm Augustine Lyerly.
And Colton and I have no relation whatsoever.
None.
I know we look semi-similar.
Besties. That's the only relation.
We have no relationship whatsoever. We actually hate each other.
We
do this for the views.
There are better things we could do for the views. If we wanted the views, we're not doing great. But let's try our best. Listeners, I love each and every one of you. Thank you for being here. You guys are awesome. I would do it in spite of you, but I do appreciate you for being here. Alrighty. Are you ready to get into the book? What do we read this week?
I am. This week we read chapter 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, and 82. And guess what, guys?
What?
Next week we're reading the rest of the book.
Whoa!
So I'm not even going to read them. Just start at 83 and read till the book is over.
Read till the one that says epilogue and end that one, then you're done.
Just read until you've read the last singular page of this book.
Yeah. Unless you have one that has like a little chapter of like bonus content. You know what I'm talking about? Like those chapters of like...
Read the rest of the book.
Read every page.
Every single page, including the one at the very end that talks about Brandon Sanderson and where he lives. He lives in Utah.
I didn't know that, actually.
And he grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska.
I didn't know that. We will address that in our next episode. We'll address every single page to the end of the book. All right. Well, I start this week. You ready to just get into it?
Also, real quick.
Sorry.
Can you imagine Brandon Sanderson being your professor?
The thing is, no.
That'd be so cool.
I'm sure a lot of his students aren't his fans. They're just like students. And so they're like, why are there just like random adults who are taking just this class? You know?
I mean, I'm sure they know their professor is like a famous author.
One of the highest rated authors, for sure.
I just think that would be cool. That's all.
Next up is my turn to discuss chapter 67.
Oh, and guess what, guys? We've started part 5.
I also said it wrong again. It is 76, and for some reason, I have just the worst. I've also said epilepsy. What's the one where you switch letters? Not schizophrenia either. What's the one where you switch? Dyslexia.
Yes, there we go. I knew it started with a D and ended with an E. I couldn't remember any of the letters before that.
So it's 76, not 67. I'm going to consistently get it wrong today. Just be ready. It is chapter 76. It is called The Hidden Blade. And the diagram bit, because now we're reading bits from the diagram, which if you don't remember is what Taravangian created when he was hyper intelligent.
Yep.
Goes like this. They will come. You cannot stop their oaths. Look for those who survive when they should not. That pattern will be your clue. From the diagram. Coda of the Northwest bottom corner, paragraph 3. And it opens with a Kaladin chapter, and Kaladin is back from the pits, and he is in his camp, but he is extremely injured.
Yep.
And he's moping because that's what he does. And also
he's
because Syl, he keeps thinking about the voice that said, "You have killed her." In
to
reference
be fair,
to
Syl. I also would probably be thinking about that on repeat if I were him.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't judge him for that at all.
Yeah.
Because I get it. Not that I've killed anybody, but.
And then guess who shows up? It's none other than your boy, Lopin.
Whoop.
Sorry for not acknowledging you've not killed anybody. That just made it funnier to me to pretend like I'm moving on really quickly. Not that I've killed anybody. Moving on.
Shh.
But Lopin is here and he's like, why don't you take some Stormlight and heal that leg, Gon? And Kaladin basically, he prepared a lie, but then he realizes he can't say it. So he says, I've lost the ability. Syl has left me.
Yeah.
Then Lopin goes, why don't you get her a little hat? Women like little hats, don't they?
I love Lopin.
Lopin's a great guy. I'm a big fan of Lopin. And then they walk out and Kaladin sees the like hordes of army getting ready to make their march across the plateaus. And Kaladin is like, oh, this is the army I envisioned when I was a kid. When I pictured the armies of Kolinar,
yeah,
it looked like this. Not what I had been seeing, not Amaram.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like this.
Which is kind of cool.
It is very cool.
It's a cool image, like all the people gathering together, like with all their armor, like they're not like freaking out yet. They're not fighting. They're just looking powerful, which is kind of
also
cool
a number I can't imagine. 30,000 men.
That's a number. That is a crazy number of people.
I can't comprehend. I can't imagine seeing 30,000 things. So yeah. Yeah.
It's
hard.
Like right now I'm also reading Lord of the Rings. And in that book, they talk about like, I mean, they're at like war, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh yeah, 1,000 men. But that's really not that many. And I was like, but it is.
1,000 people.
In like the idea of war, it's really not. But in that, the idea of just 1,000 people in one area is a crazy number. And I can't even picture that.
Yeah. And then it cuts, they decide to go find Breach 4. And then it cuts to Dalinar. And he finds that him and Rowian were the two high princes he expected. But yeah. Sabariel is showing up, which we could probably have a little bit of Shallan to thank for that.
I love Sabariel.
Yeah.
Just saying, he's very funny in this book.
He's a little bum, but also he has, even though he is an inept soldier, he has hired very good soldiers. Yeah. So his army is actually pretty good.
He also, I feel like, is kind of a good dude. Like, he seems to me like a good dude.
Yeah, like he comes and says, Dalinar, you look surprised. That's reason enough to have come, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
And then Sabara says, well, I beat Aladar out here. So that should count for something. And Dalinar's like, Adalar, what? Because Adalar is one of Sadeus's like starkest supporters. And so having one of Sadeus's men show up really threw Dalinar off. Not necessarily. Let me rephrase. Not like a Sadeus's man.
Yeah.
But like a... on Team Sadeus in general.
Yes. Yeah.
And Amaram is with Dalinar, by the way, through all this. He's just kind of like walking around and giving his running commentary.
Boo.
Boo.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, let's harmonize again. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Boo.
That one was worse.
It was a little bit worse for
the
sure.
The first one, I feel like sometimes when you try and harmonize, it's just bad. Unless you're like good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, unless you're
which
like
I am not.
A choir or something.
But like when you do it on accident, it's like, oh, that was great.
What a beautiful little moment we just had.
I know.
Then it cuts to Sadeus's POV.
Boo!
Boo! And Sadeus and Iali are Iale. Is what we decided, right? Iali.
I always call her Iali.
Okay. Sadeus and Iali are riding around on the like the hills outside of the Shatter Plains, like behind the war camps.
Yeah.
And they're talking, and Sadeus gets a message saying that Aladar is joining, and he is stunned silent for a long time. And I find that very funny. But I guess I also skipped ahead. It doesn't happen in this moment, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
They're riding, they're scheming. He learns about Aladar, and he gets a little bit upset.
Yeah.
Dalinar talks to Aladar and makes him promise that this isn't a scheme. You're here on your own. Promise me.
Yeah.
And that I appreciate him for doing that, because Aladar is basically like, if what you're saying is true, then you do need me. And also, I am able to think on my own.
Yeah.
And I appreciate him for that.
Yeah, I agree.
And when he does promise, he goes, Dalinar nods and he says, I could be lying. And he says, but you aren't, says Dalinar. So Dalinar can read him, apparently.
Yeah.
And then he goes over and looks at, he sees Breach 4 and sees Kaladin and goes, oh, what is that man doing out of the barracks? And then he says to Amaram, come, I want you to speak to that young man so he can put a stop to the rumors and the things he's been saying about you.
Uh-oh.
And so Dalinar brings Amaram up.
This part, I love this part.
I never understood it. Like, it took me like several reads to understand why this proves anything. But
I think I kind of understand it.
Let me discuss so I can clarify.
Yeah.
Kaladin sees Dalinar coming over, and so he stands up as best he can on his broken leg and salutes. And they basically, Kaladin says he's here to see them off, to like see off the Bridgemen and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cute and kind of him. But then Dalinar walks up with Amaram, and he's very angry. And he basically, what happens is Dalinar caught Amaram in a lie, saying that about the shard blade that the crazy man brought with him.
Yeah.
The lie is complex and like hard to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout this book, this time reading, I noticed like there was a, during one of the sections where we didn't have a Dalinar POV.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned in passing that the High Prince has been sick for 10 days.
Yeah.
Because that's when he's bonding the crazy he's man's been, thing. Yeah. And in one of the interludes from the crazy man's POV, you can hear a voice say, "What should we do with this?" And a different voice says, "Give it to me. I think I can make use of this." That's Dalinar taking the crazy man's sword.
Yeah.
It's like, you can piece together the story, but it's not on a first read piece together.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Dalinar hid the blade, pretended to hide the blade in a cave.
Yeah.
Then started spreading the rumors about it being hidden. Then asked Amaranth to research it. Amaranth said, "I found nothing," which was a lie. And Dalinar said, "I figured if you were willing to kill for one, you'd be willing to lie for one as well."
Yeah.
And so because he's lying about whether or not there's a sword available. Dalinar's like, so Kaladin's right. Little contrived.
Yeah.
But I guess it worked. Basically, Dalinar believes Kaladin now. Amaranth gets kicked out of the camps.
Yeah. It's interesting. It just makes me laugh because Dalinar pretends basically like he implies that Kaladin is going to have to apologize. And then he's like, nah, psych fam, Amaranth's apologizing. And everyone's like, huh? I was like, yes!
And as soon as he says that, Amaranth starts to summon his blade. And before he can, a blade appears in Dalinar's hand, which is the one that he took from the crazy man.
Yeah.
Tipped to Amaranth's neck. And Amaranth gets kicked away. No real punishment because you can't imprison a shard bearer. He can cut his way out of anything.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like your name has been a curmudgeoned goodbye.
Yeah. Well, they're going to try and do more when they get back. But right now there's nothing he can do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least he's no longer going along with them.
Yeah.
And Dalinar knows the truth. So that's awesome. I was pretty happy about that.
And then Kaladin learns that Bridge Four left their best man to guard the king, which of course is Moash. And that gives Kaladin a moment of like, oh no, it's going to happen, which makes him a little bit concerned.
Yeah, not great.
And then basically the chapter ends with basically the Amaranth thing happens. Amaranth gets kicked, sent off, and says, we'll do more later. Then it ends with Sadeas discovering that Aladar joined Dalinar.
Yeah.
And Sadeas being angry.
Yep.
And he sits quietly for a weirdly long time, and then he says, we do nothing until they're dead. This will end, it appears, with Dalinar killed by the Parshendi after all. Aladar can go with him, and to damnation with the lot of them. And then he turns and rides back towards the Shattered Plains. End of chapter.
Sidious, I think you're wrong. They're not going to die. That would be wild.
And then there's some drawings here.
Yeah, some drawings of a chasm fiend.
No, that's not a chasm fiend. It's a white spine.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I can't read the writing.
Having only seen one specimen in captivity, it is difficult to determine how the white spine will behave in its natural habitat. With tusks and claws like these, I can easily imagine it being as terrifying as I've heard. Then it says, the white spine possesses tiny eyes in recessed cavities. It may have good peripheral vision, but poor focus at long distance. The large navel cavities suggest that it depends greatly on its sense of smell. The tusks are highly prized as trophies. Artisans engrave the surface or carve them into various shapes. The tusks will change in color over time from the natural hue into a smooth, polished white. And yeah. They're freaky-looking little, four-armed velociraptors, essentially.
Yeah, they're interesting. I cannot read the writing at all. It's too tiny.
I tried to give you my best read of it.
Good job. I just see scribbles because the writing. Look how tiny that is.
Yeah, it's itty-bitty.
Who thought I was going to be able to read that?
Well, in the big book printing, it's easy to read.
I know. I can't.
Get into it, Cindy.
All right, chapter 77, Trust. The diagram bit says... Why was that funny?
I forgot that we had said that.
Oh, yeah. It says, one danger in deploying such a potent weapon will be the potential encouragement of those exploring the Nahelbond. Care must be taken to avoid placing these subjects in situations of powerful stress unless you accept the consequences of their potential investiture.
So it's basically something...
From the diagram, floorboard 27 specifically, paragraph 6.
What do you think it is? What's he talking about?
It kind of seems to me like... He's talking about kind of the death rattles. The people he's putting under that.
Putting in danger.
Yeah.
Something to do with a bond, which we know what bonds are.
Yeah.
So maybe he's like putting these people in danger who maybe can have a bond. It's risky, but let's try it.
It's interesting.
All right.
All right. So we're in Shallan's point of view. She is hanging out with the army. She's on her way with them. They're starting to head off.
Yep.
And She's got a horse of her own, but she's not a huge fan of it. It's very
small
and slow. And Adolin comes over, and he's like towering over her because he's on his Rashadium.
Oh.
And
sad days for Rashadium.
She's like, "You really just gave me a slow one." And he was like, "Yep." And she goes, "I'd smack you if I could." And I think that's really funny. And they just kind of, they talk, and she thinks about Kaladin. And
call him handsome and rugged. Yeah.
But she does think about like how she does like Adolin, how he's very different than Kaladin. Like she's comparing them, which is not good at all. Red flag, Shallan, red flag. I don't like this this love triangle we found ourselves in. Well, not a fan.
The love triangle thing always bugs me when the other two aren't also in love. What we found ourselves in is a love mountain. There's a point with Shallan at the top.
Isn't usually how love triangles work?
Yes, but that's not a triangle. You've made an arrow. It's a love arrow. unless Kaladin and Adolin start like crushing on each other, it's not a love triangle. That term just always bugged me.
Yeah. Anyways, Adolin's like, why are you insisting you ride along instead of going that carriage that Sabariel brought for you? Because she's like, really hasn't ridden that much. And he's like, "You're going to get sore." And she's like, "No, I'll be fine."
Well, she says, "Sore? Isn't the horse doing most of the work?" And then Adolin just stares at her.
You know? Anyways, Adolin trots off and Gaz appears. Yeah, I do, actually.
So riding soreness because you're a horse girl, aren't you?
Not anymore.
Admit it. Admit it.
I'm not a horse girl. anyways, Gaz shows up. And Gaz has kind of been missing for a while.
Yeah.
But he shows up and he's got a package for her. And inside the package is a very, very, very old copy of Words of Radiance. But Shallan is ecstatic to have it. And she's like,
she should skip to the end and know what she should do. If she skips to the end of Words of Radiance, she'll know what she does next.
Yeah, maybe.
But because we're reading the Words of Radiance.
I got it.
But
that was dumb. But
you didn't react the right way, Sydney. That Sorry. Joke was relying on you, and you failed me.
Sorry. But she just says thank you, and let me talk. She tells Gaz thank you, and then we skip forward, and we go to later on. She's now in the carriage. She's no longer riding.
Yep. And she's spread her information out across the seats.
She's like, there's no one in there, and she's got it spread out. She's reading through the book. It's very frustrating to her, but she seems to be enjoying it in a way.
Yeah.
She's having a good time. She's learning a lot. She kind of feels like locked away almost, but not. Like she's doing this so that she can be alone, so that she can talk to Pattern and not have people freak out about Pattern.
She also kind of just said like, I need to get over my incessant fear of being locked away.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then Navani comes into the carriage.
Navani!
And they just have a very sweet little conversation. Like, they're talking about everything. Like, you know, they have just a very brief conversation about, like, life, kind of. And Navani kind of apologizes.
Yep.
And it's a very good conversation. I really like the fact that Navani is finally starting to accept Shallan.
And then
that's pretty cool.
And then they get to, like, reminisce about Yasna.
Yeah, they start talking about what Yasna, what she believed, and all those different things.
And about then, the portal that she believed in. And Navani's like, I've never known Yasna to be wrong. So if she believes there's a portal, then I'm going to guess there's a portal somewhere.
Yeah. And Shallan is able to convince Navani into agreeing to give her scholars and agreeing to work to try and find what Yasna was looking for.
Right.
And this section ends with Shallan basically telling Navani, Yasna succeeded in becoming
a radiant. Yep.
And Navani's like, really? And Shallan's like, yeah, she could soul cast on her own.
Yeah.
Her soul caster was fake. It didn't actually work.
She was the soul caster.
She was the soul caster. And Navani's like, okay.
Yep.
And she believes her. And then the chapter skips again, and now go.
Navani says, I want to help you with what you're doing, but I'm not going to take it from you. And so Shallan has like a whole list of things. She's copying books, analyzing maps, that she has a bunch of scholars doing that.
Yeah. I appreciate that Navani is willing to let Shallan lead this and not try and take over.
I appreciate that as well.
Yeah. I really like Navani a lot.
I also do.
We switch perspectives, and we're with Kaladin. The weeping has begun, so it's just raining and raining and raining. Kaladin is very kind of upset, and he's just not in a good spot. And he's sitting in the dark in his room by himself.
Sitting in the dark.
And Moesh comes in. Moesh comes in and starts talking to Kaladin. And basically Moesh is like, this is perfect. You don't even have to do anything, Kaladin. We've got it all under control.
The time has come.
The time has come. We're going to get rid of Elikar. You won't even have to do anything. And it'll be so good. It'll look like their plan is they're going to say, they're going to hide all the servants away and pretend that the assassin in white has come back. And that way, when they kill him with a shard blade, it'll just look like the assassin in white did it.
Right.
So it's kind of a decently smart plan because no one's around to see them.
Right.
The servants are all going to think they've been hidden away because of the assassin in white. It does make a lot of sense. And Kaladin is just not sure how he feels about this.
Kaladin says that Syl left, I think it's to do with this.
Yeah.
And she says, he goes, shouldn't Aradian care about what is right, even if it's a difficult decision? Kaladin goes, sometimes lives must be spent for the greater good. Moesh, yes, exactly. And Kaladin goes, that's what Amaram said in regards to killing my troops for a shard blade. And Moesh immediately, well, that's different. He's a light eyes. And Kaladin in his head goes, Moesh, your eyes have turned light brown. You're also a light eyes. There's no different here, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Actually, it's interesting because he mentions that Moesh's eyes are the same color as Amaram's now, which I think is interesting. That's all. Was Amaram a dark eyes at one point? Because
no, he was a light eyes squad leader.
It's just interesting that his eyes are the same color because Moesh's are like a light brown,
mm-hmm.
and so that I just wondered if maybe Amaram at one point was a dark eyes and his eyes changed
when he had the shard blade, he was still.
I thought so, but I didn't know if maybe there was something before that. Like, I don't know.
That's a good question.
I just thought it was interesting that got brought up that way. Because it just says, Kaladin turned to Moesh, whose eyes had turned as light a tan as those of any Bright Lord. Same color as Amaram's, actually. And I just thought that was an interesting thing to point out.
I think it's a writing thing to parallel what he's saying to what Amaram is.
Probably. I just thought it was an interesting thing to point out.
Yeah.
That's all. But Moesh is kind of like, you know, you're worrying me. And, you know, he's worried that Kaladin's kind of backing out, which Kaladin is.
Mm-hmm.
But he also tells him that the king wants to deliver a message. The king wants to come see him, but Kaladin's kind of avoiding him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's basically where the chapter ends.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, chapter 78. It's called Contradictions. And the diagram bit says this. Ah, but they were left behind. It is so obvious from the nature of the bond, but where, set off obvious realization like a precity. They are with the Shin. We must find one. Can we make to us to use a truthless? Can we craft a weapon? It's all one word, no spaces.
Yeah, I think it's definitely talking about Zeth.
Yeah, he found a truthless and made them a truthless.
Yeah.
From the diagram, floorboard 17, paragraph 2, every second letter starting with the first. Sydney and I weren't sure what that meant, so I Googled it. It's a number cipher thing. You can try and solve it if you want. I'm not going to bother.
I kind of want to.
Just go for it. It'd be fun. And it's such a long chapter. They're set up like kind of in like a pause in the slow march of the army. And Shallan is drawing Yasna as she remembers her from the last time that she saw her. And it's not from a specific memory that she made, but like a conglomeration of her memories.
Yeah.
Because she says she needs to practice her ability to like sketch from not specific memories.
Yes.
So her light weavings could be more convincing because it would be less convincing if she could only be people she had actually seen and made a note to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to make up a new person and become them is like her goal.
Yeah.
And then Pattern gets a little bit mad at the creation spren because they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of there. And I find that funny. And then Shallan, for some reason, randomly brings up a study about colored lights and how it impacts drawing. And I'm not really sure what her takeaway from that is. She just kind of talks about it for a while.
It is interesting.
And then they says... Dalinar says, you have co-opted my scribes and... Dalinar shows up.
Yeah, Dalinar comes
in. Yeah, just says, hi. And it says, you have co-opted my scribes and cartographers. They hum of it like rainfall. Urethiru, Stormseat. And she says that Brighton and Navani did it. And Dalinar says, Navani says, you did it. And Dalinar says, Navani told me that you told her that Yasna had rediscovered the Knight's Radiant. And she says that that's true. And Dalinar says, you're certain that Yasna didn't mislead you somehow. And Shallan's like, yeah, no. It was for sure.
It was real. I promise, Dalinar. It wasn't a lie. I'm not lying to you.
Yeah. But that makes Dalinar realize, crap, I thought my job was to start this. It's already started. So in naming Amaram, I made a step in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I'm just supposed to gather them. I'm not starting them. I'm just supposed to gather the ones who have already come forward and make them into a group again, basically.
And Shallan, when he says when that conversation happens, Shallan goes, "I have to tell someone sometime." And so she grabs a sphere from him and summons a little projection of Yasna in her hand.
Yeah,
and
Dalinar's like, what?
He's like, oh boy. And he like tries to rub his fingers through it. He's super excited. But Shallan makes him promise. You can't tell anyone, not even Navani, until I give you leave, because my illusions will become pointless if everyone knows I can do them.
That's true. He's got a good point.
If everyone knows I can do illusions, then everybody will be looking out for illusions. And I can't have that. And
Dalinar,
not willingly, but he agrees.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to get you the yellow at first before he agrees. He says, I got to get you that cape. Where's that cape? And that makes me laugh. Every time I read this book, I'm like, he immediately is interested in his cape again.
I know. It's funny.
Dude,
not
love
the
that
stinking cape.
And he says, he basically pieces together that the fall in the chasms was her, is why she survived. And that's why Yasna took her on, mm-hmm. which made me mad when I read this. No, Yasna took her on because she was really like, before she was a Radiant, Yasna took her on.
Yeah.
The fact that she was a Radiant is why Yasna kept her on after the thief attempt.
The thieving attempt.
She earned her spot with Yasna independent of her Radiantness.
Yeah. I don't know if we mentioned earlier, since we were talking about the cape, I don't know if we mentioned earlier that Dalinar made Amaran give it back.
Oh, of course.
So that's kind of fun.
He kicked him out of the army. He like basically said, you're a murderer and a traitor. Get out of here.
Give me my cape back.
Give me back my cape.
That's the only thing that matters. Give me my cape.
And then Taleb comes and says, some of our searchers got attacked by some Parshendi. We killed one. Come look. And they find the new form.
Yeah.
And Shallan comes with them. And Dalinar doesn't want her to. And she says, I'm the hardest person to kill in this army. I'm safe. I'll come with you. I can survive a gut through the chest. I'll be okay. A spear through the chest.
A gut through the chest. A gut, just like someone's inside through your chest.
That would be a pretty...
Ooh.
Ew.
Ooh.
But Shallan is like, huh? And she looks down at it and opens its eyelid and discovers the red eyes. And she screams, red eyes. And Dalinar says, it's just a fairy tale. And she went, Yasna thought it was true. And suddenly Dalinar's like, okay, it was true. Oh, no.
Whatever Yasna said is true. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. And they also discovered, they also say, like, the people who died from them had burn marks all over them. So they kind of, like, piece together there's something with fire that they have.
Yeah.
Turns out to be lightning.
Yeah.
And so, basically, the desolations have come back. And then they get another thing. Another Scar comes running over and says, not just those who just we just killed. We found Shen.
Yeah.
And Shen is just sitting on a rock not answering questions. So, yeah, that's the end of the chapter.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I covered it pretty well.
Yeah, good job.
Your turn.
My turn in
general.
My turn in general.
In general, it's my turn.
That's not what I was trying to say. All right, chapter 79. It's called Toward the Center. The little diagram bit says, Q. For what essential must we strive?
A.
The essential of preservation. The shelter a seed of humanity through the coming storm.
Q.
What cost must we bear?
A.
The cost is irrelevant. Mankind must survive. Our burden is that of the species, and all other considerations are but dust by comparison. From the diagram, Catechism of the Back of the Flowered Painting, paragraph 1. Not the back of the flowered painting.
The image I get from this is every surface from top to bottom it is covered in scribbles.
Can you imagine? You walk in at night,
mm-hmm.
and you just see the entire room that was not like this before, just covered in gibberish and scribbles.
In a language that's made up, by the way.
So gibberish.
Yeah.
That would be so overwhelming.
Right.
All right. So we're, anyways, we're
apparently
gonna start.
He's an accurate predictor of like whether or not people would clap 5 years in the future. So
which is crazy.
It really does show that he was extremely intelligent in that moment, like that's like insane. Beyond regular human ability.
Man could see the future, basically.
Essentially, it's crazy. Which, by the way, is extremely against foreign tradition.
Yeah,
viewing the future has been like anti-Vorin, like hardcore. So
it's fine.
It's fine.
Okay, moving on. So into the chapter we go. We're with Dalinar. And they are, you know, they just discovered Shen, or Relaine.
Relaine.
As his name is technically. And they, you know, they're trying to decide what to do about this whole situation. Mm-hmm. And they have Relaine actually come and, like, visit and, like, talk to them. And so Relaine comes over, and he's basically like...
Well, they go to Relaine. Relaine's surrounded by a bunch of soldiers.
Yeah, and they basically tell him, like, Relaine tells him that, yes, I was a spy. I was a dull form for 3 years, and I was spying on the army. And I decided to go back, okay? And he's being, like, really polite to Dalinar, like, saluting him, like, being very kind to him.
He won't answer questions to anybody else,
except
only Dalinar.
Dalinar. And basically his reasoning is, you're my commanding officer. And Dalinar's like, yeah, but you're a Parshendi. He's like, okay, and?
Yeah.
You're still my, you know. And he basically says... Something is wrong, sir. He says, Ashonai's voice on the plateau that day when she came to meet with Prince Adolim. And Dalinar's like, Ashonai, that's the name of the Parshendi Shardbearer. And Relaine's like, yes, she was my commander, but now she just, something's wrong. Something is horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. Like the listeners, the Parshendi, they're no more. They're gone. Like something has gone wrong. I have nothing left to go back to. So that's why I came here, because I've got nothing. Like, right. My people are basically have self-destructed and destroyed themselves.
As far as he's concerned, the listeners are no more.
Yeah.
By the way, if you don't remember, when Adolin went to meet with Ashonai, he brought the bridge for as protection. Relaine was there. He saw and heard Ashonai speak. Yep. He knows something is wrong. So that's why immediately after that, he left to go back to the plains and discover that it was true.
Yeah. And so he tells Dalinar that... Like, the red eyes, the reason they have red eyes now basically means that their gods have returned.
Yeah.
So, well, whoever their gods are, their gods have returned. And, well, actually, Dalinar does ask, who are your gods? And Relaine says, they are the souls of those ancient, those who gave of themselves to destroy. They hate you and your kind, sir. This new form they have given my people, it is something terrible. It will bring something terrible.
Right.
And so that's kind of interesting.
Storm
and
that would be
why Ashonai could hear screaming. She can hear herself screaming.
Yeah.
Because she knows deep down that it's not her. She's not controlling herself anymore because she's being controlled by these gods now.
Side thing.
Yes.
Later, the storm spren they use to become storm form. Do you remember what Patterns calls them?
Oh, we'll talk about this later.
Oh, yeah. The storm spren.
Yeah.
The storm spren are... Voidbringers.
Voidbringers, yeah. That's right. Yep. Because they think that, yeah.
Or
yeah.
A version of Voidbringers.
Yeah. And then Dalinar just kind of ends with, we need you to, like, show us how to get there and, like, show us how to get to where the like, portal is and, like, their way around. Like, give us a map of, you know, the Shattered Plains and stuff. And so he tells Relaine to meet with Shallan. And, that's kind of where the chapter ends. Hate and Navani talk about the fact that the countdown ends in 3 days. And that's the end of the chapter.
Countdown ends.
And there's a little drawing.
Mapped on the journey to the center, it says. Mapped while lost in the chasms is a circle around a small area. This shows you the scale, by the way, how big this thing is.
Yeah, it's just a map of the Shattered Plains, basically.
Note, the eastern side of the plateau is much more eroded than this side. Than this. Light areas are placeous, packed closely together. Dark areas represent plateaus less densely packed. I know you wanted me to draw every plateau, but shadows, woman, I'm not that crazy.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just the drawing kind of shows a general repeating pattern of the Shattered Plains.
Yep.
So yeah. By the way, do you remember what the pattern is similar to? Did you remember what they mentioned? I was been thinking about, I need to say this, because while they're in the chasms, Shallan realized this.
No, I don't remember.
The 8-part repeating pattern is the same way that when the member of the Ardent that she killed, forget his name, the Ardent who tried to assassinate Yasna in the first book,
Oh,
kinetics.
Capsule.
Yeah, capsule. Remember the kinetics where he put sand in?
Oh, yeah.
The pattern that's formed is the same kind of pattern that the sand makes when a certain sound is played.
That's funny.
It's like that. And she says it's almost like the earth itself was like where the sand would have been was shattered.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's interesting. I forgot about capsule.
They mentioned that in the plateaus, and I realized that I was thinking to mention it last week, and I didn't, so I wanted to bring it up now.
Good job.
Chapter 80, To Fight the Rain. That's my chapter.
Yeah, it is. Good observation.
You must become king of everything, says the diagram.
Says every person trying to be king ever.
Yes. From the diagram, tenets of instruction, back of the footboard, paragraph one.
Back of the footboard.
Paragraph one. It's Shallan again. And Shallan is like walking around and the wind seems to be getting stronger, even though it's supposed to be a nearing light day, the lightest day of the rain.
Yeah.
Gaz is like, are you sure you want to do this? As he walks with her. And Shallan says, yeah, of course I want to do it. And she's walking to like, I don't know, map out the planes, I guess.
Yeah, it seems that way. Like she's still trying to figure out where exactly they need to go. Cause she hasn't figured it out yet.
Yeah. And she also sees that there are, like more Parshendi spotted in the next plateau over.
Yeah.
And so she's like basically using the spyglass that is fogged up and it makes her upset. Trying to get like a vision of where she was and like piece together the way the city was. And she sees a plateau that's like, yep, this is clearly a city. Like you can see under the Krem, there is clearly was a city here. Yeah. Maybe not now.
Yeah.
But there clearly was at least a city. And then she walks up and finds Dalinar talking to the other two. She walks into the like planning meeting with Dalinar, Sabariel, Rowian, and Aladar.
Yeah.
And they're kind of arguing about what they should do. And does what Dalinar does. He's the High Prince of War. But he takes control and makes, first Shallan jumps in and says, we should attack. And they're like, she gets a little glare because, you know.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. She's not supposed to be talking here. And then Dalinar makes Adalar like suddenly get really, basically he inspires all of them. He inspires Adalar. He inspires Rowian to be brave, and Sabariel is just Sabariel, so he doesn't really get inspired.
It's just kind of funny. He has very like fun conversations with them.
Yeah. And basically they decide they're going to march inward because Shallan needs to find the portal. And Dalinar says, that portal of yours, you need to find it. That's my only escape plan. Like you need to find the portal. You're my way out.
I love that he's relying on something that they don't even know for sure, like 100% if it's real. And that's hilarious to me. That's a terrible backup plan to have.
Yeah.
Like the fact that your backup plan, Dalinar, is something that you don't even know if it's real is a terrible, terrible backup plan to have.
I will say these chapters, recapping them are hard because every one of these chapters follows every character.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can just like remember, oh, Dalinar did this at this part. Because you see Dalinar, Shallan, Kaladin every single time from each of their perspective. So I am having a trouble being like, what did he do in this part of Kaladin do during this part of the chapter? So it's if I get the order of stuff wrong, know that what I say is true. Maybe the order of it is a little bit off. Kaladin is still at the
skipped to his perspective. Yes.
He is limping around and days have passed since the last time we've seen him, by the way. So it's like several days later.
Yeah.
Which same for the other people between the chapters, several days of just marching has happened.
Yep.
And mapping. So Kaladin has been several days. He's walking around the war camp and he is thinking about Shallan, which is a little bit funny.
That is funny.
And he goes, I never did believe he was a horn eater. I need to make sure she knows that.
Because he's wearing the boots that she stole.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny.
So they're both kind of a little bit into each other again. Love arrow, man. What are you going to do about it? It's a love arrow.
Yay.
And then Kaladin's like, I wish I'd revealed what I could do before we fell. I wish I'd revealed who I was. And his brain says, you weren't about to reveal it. You've been saying you were going to for weeks. You were not about to reveal.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Yep.
And then he goes, but if Shallan's what I think she is, she'll have a chance, I guess. Maybe she'll have a better run at being radiant than I did.
Kaladin, you're going to figure it out, man. I believe in you.
That's a theory for later. Kaladin walks back to where his what is it called? Where he lives. His room, essentially. Yeah. Barrack. His barrack.
Yeah.
And Lopin's outside and says, he's waiting for you, the king. And he had just been taking, basically he's been taking daily laps, even on his bad leg, to try and rebuild strength.
Yeah.
And when he walks in, the king goes, oh, too injured to see me, huh?
That's hilarious.
And the king is obviously a little bit drunk. Not drunk, but he's been drinking.
He's a tiny bit wasted.
And the king does something that makes him grow on me a little bit. The king says, how do I be a soldier that like you? How do I become somebody people like you, like a hero like
how
you?
How do I become a leader?
Everyone hates me. Everyone loves you. Help me be like you. And Kaladin basically says, no, you should step down. Like, basically being extremely brutal for no reason.
Yeah.
He's
just kind of being a butthole.
To the king. Which, you know, kind of makes sense, but also sucks a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit trash of Kaladin. But even so, Kaladin basically makes the king leave. Because the king is like, will you train me? No. What do you think I should do? You should step down. Like, continually Kaladin is just being mean. But the king, in a way that I like, acknowledges, I overreacted to your challenge of Amaram. You weren't the one who ruined our chance against Sadeus. It was me. Dalinar was right again. I'm so tired of him being right. And so then the king leaves and...
Real quick, you missed something.
Oh.
The king mentions the shadows that he saw in the mirror.
Yeah.
And how they've disappeared since Kaladin's been around.
So also, maybe not Spren?
Yeah.
What do you think the shadows were?
I thought the shadows were the same thing that Shallan was seeing.
We thought so, but those ended up being pattern.
Yeah.
Why would they run from Kaladin?
I don't know.
What do you think they were? Give me a guess. You can still say if you still think they were, Kaladin scared them off somehow.
I don't know. I feel like they could be something similar to, or I don't know. I feel like they could still be something similar to what, to pattern.
Mm.
But I think maybe everything that's happened with Kaladin and Syl is part of the reason they've disappeared.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if they're like lies or something like that, or some kind of like doubt or something. Cause we know that the Elikar is very like doubt filled. So maybe Kaladin being around has done something with that. I don't really know.
Okay. Mark it down, Theory Master, Lore Keeper. I'm going to start using those terms interchangeably because Theory Master is what I called you at first. I like the term Lore Keeper better. So I'm just going to start calling you Lore. If you're listening right now, Lore Keeper or Theory Master, put DM on Instagram. Tell us what you prefer and I'll use that term.
Either Theory Master or Lore Keeper. Those are your options.
Yeah, don't be like God. I'm not going to call you that. Theory Master or Lore Keeper. Those are your two options. Hans Olo. All right, that's the end of my chapter.
Good job.
Thank you.
Woo! Chapter 81 is my next one. It's called The Last Day.
This is a long one.
It is a long one. I'll try and get through it as zoomy as possible. All right, the diagram bit says, the unmade are a deviation, a flare, a conundrum that may not be worth your time. You cannot help but think of them. They are fascinating. Many are mindless. At the spread of human emotions, only much more nasty. I do believe a few can think, however. From the diagram, Book of the Second Desk Drawer, paragraph 14. So that's fun.
Any thoughts?
It says, many are mindless, but some can think. So it gives me very, like Syl pattern
Spren vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it says they're, like, but they're, Spren.
They're unmade, though.
But different.
Yeah, weird.
Okay. Anyways, we start off here with Dalinar, and they're kind of just... You know, going about, Dalinar's trying to figure out what to do. He's not 100% sure what's going on. It's, like, getting very windy. Like, they can see the Parshendi across the way now, right? Yeah, they're at that point where they can see them across the way.
Right.
And they're not doing anything. They're just standing there,
but
like,
their eyes are glowing.
And their eyes are glowing. And Dalinar's
hundreds of thousands.
Ooh.
Or 100,000. Or is it 10,000, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. 10,000 of them standing there with glowing red eyes.
Yeah. And Dalinar is talking to Shallan, and he's like, is there anything you can do to help? And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm not technically a Knight's Radiant yet. I'm not a soldier yet. I'm still learning.
Yes.
And Dalinar's like, ah, well, crap. Yeah. I need you to find this pathway to Yirithiru because that's the only backup plan I have.
You're my only contingency,
which,
yeah.
Again, is a terrible backup plan to have because you don't even know if this thing is real. And you still don't know where it is.
Yes.
Terrible backup plan. But... Then the other High Princess come over, and Dalinar gives them this, like, very, like, hurrah speech.
This is when he is Ryers.
Yeah.
Aladar and Roey on and gets the Bariel to go.
Yeah, he's able to make Aladar like feel like a champion, like, you got this. Aladar gives him like the best salute ever, and Dalinar's like, huh, okay. And he does the same with Royon. You know, it's they just have like the same, like, very similar conversation.
Sorry, I did it earlier.
Yeah, he like gets him to like feel like, yes, I've got this. And then he just jokes with Sabario because Sabario won't be fighting, but like Colton mentioned earlier, he's got a good group of soldiers who are going to fight for him.
Right.
And he's putting someone in charge. He's putting Taleb in charge of his army. So
Taleb is the shard bearer who was the leader of his army before, yeah. But they gave him shards after Adolin won them.
Yeah. So they just have like a very, you know, pretty chill conversation.
And Navani is setting up Fabrials. Do you remember what they do?
The Fabrials make like things float.
So also she sets up giant light Fabrials as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. To give them some light
to fight with.
See by and fight with.
Light by which to fight. Fight light.
Fight light.
She has a fight light Fabrial, okay?
Fight light Fabrial, okay. Dalinar gets on his Rashadium.
Because,
Gallants.
By the way, because of the middle of the weeping, it's been long enough that since a high storm,
they're running out of spheres.
That most of the spheres have drained and there's not light left.
Yeah. Yep. Dalinar climbs onto his Rashadium Gallant's horse.
Mm-hmm.
Horse. He climbs onto his Rashadium Gallant.
Horse.
And a horse, yes.
Gallant horse.
And he gives like a speech that will be like written down and spoken to all the soldiers.
Want
to
read it?
And basically.
Let's read it.
Yeah, sure. We haven't done a dramatic reading yet.
I have one more I'm saving for later, but for now, let's do this one.
Okay.
Yes, he shouted over the sound of the rain. These are Voidbringers. Yes, we're going to fight them. I don't know what they can do. I don't know why they've returned, but we came here to stop them. I know you're scared, but you have heard of my visions in the high storms. In the war camps, the Light Eyes mocked me and dismissed what I'd seen as delusions. He thrust his arms to the side, pointing at the sea of red eyes. Well, out there, you see proof that my visions were true. Out there, you see what I have been told would come. Dalinar licked wet lips. He had given many battlefield speeches in his life, but never had he said anything like what came to him now. I, he shouted, have been sent by the Almighty himself to save this land from another desolation. I have seen what those things can do. I have lived lives broken by Voidbringers. I have seen kingdoms shattered, peoples ruined, technology forgotten. I've seen civilization itself brought to the trembling edge of collapse. We will prevent this. Today, you fight not for the wealth of a Light Eyes or even for the honor of your king. Today, you fight for the good of all men. You will not fight alone. Trust in what I have seen. Trust in my words. If those things have returned, then so must the forces that once defeated them. We will see miracles before this day is out, men. We merely have to be strong enough to deserve them.
Dalinar gives some great speeches.
It was a bold speech.
It was a bold speech, but it was a good speech.
I enjoyed listening to it. I mean, reading it. Listening to myself forgive it right then.
I enjoyed listening to it.
Oh,
good
I'm
job.
Glad. Thank you.
Good
I did my
job.
Best.
But yeah, anyways, he gives this little speech, and it gets sent off so that the soldiers who weren't right there to hear him can hear it from other people, which would be less inspiring. Like, I feel like that would be so... Okay.
Well, thank
you. You just hear some random dude like talking about.
Well, maybe if they read it like I just did, they might be like, yeah.
They probably won't be reading it like you just did. I hate to break it to you. They'll probably be reading it like, okay, and Dalinar said this, like really bored.
I don't know. I picture them as exciting, like trying to rouse like excitement for the war.
Yeah. Anyways, they're standing there, they're looking out at the Bresheni, and their idea is they're going to sit and wait for a little while.
For them to attack,
yeah.
Defensive is easier for them.
Yes, and that's what they think they're going to do. But then the Parsheni start singing, and it is this horrible, like, frantic, powerful song, and Rlaine comes over.
By the way, wait a time out. Imagine a movie, all people, glowing eyes all around them.
Yeah.
And suddenly, in a moment of just complete silence, 10,000 people at the same moment in sync as if it was planned, but no one heard the planning,
yeah.
Start singing together.
Yeah.
That scene, because, like, it makes people jump because, like, it's so sudden and so mm-hmm. together when they start.
Yeah.
That scene in the movie would be awesome of, like, you could make it silence, just the sound of rain patter, and then all of a sudden everyone's singing in
sync. It would be pretty cool.
This needs to be a movie or a show. But the issue is, it has to be live action. This could be cool in anime, but I would I feel like the level of emotion this needs to be live action, in my opinion.
Yeah, be cool animated.
I think so. I think this would be. I would prefer live action. Also, just like do some practical makeup for the Prescendi. That'd be so cool.
That could be cool. That'd be
awesome.
Anyways, they start singing. Yeah, they start singing, and Relaine comes running over and is like, that song, it's death. Like, I've never heard it, but it's a rhythm of power and destruction. You have to stop them from finishing that song. They cannot be allowed to finish this song. You have to stop them.
Right.
Now. And so Dalinar gives the change. He says, okay, we're going to change things. We're attacking now. And the chapter switches perspective, and we are now with Kaladin. Woo. And Kaladin is at the entrance to the Light-Eyed training grounds, and it's flooded. Like, it's, like, become a giant pond.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, great, cool. Because normally they take, like, the sand out when it, like, high storms, so the sand doesn't get, like, wet.
Yeah.
But for this, they've let it flood to, like, clean off the sand, we learn later.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaladin's there because he needs to talk to Zahale. And he goes over and he talks to him, and they're talking about,
this is the other one. I just want to do this whole interaction. It's a longish one, but we can make it work.
Okay.
Ever been to the Pure Lake Bridge, man? Zahale asks.
No, Kaladin said. One of my men talks about it, though.
What have you heard?
It's an ocean that's so shallow, you can wade across it.
It's ridiculously shallow, Zahale said. Like an endless bay, mere feet deep, warm water, calm breezes. Reminds me of home. Not like this cold, damp, godforsaken place.
So why aren't you there instead of here?
Because I can't stand being reminded of home, idiot.
Oh, why are we talking about it then?
Because you were wondering why we made our own little pure lake down below.
I was?
Of course you were. Damnation, boy. I know you well enough by now to know that questions bother you. You don't think like a spearman.
Spearmen can't be curious?
No, because if they are, they either get killed or they end up showing someone in charge how smart they are. Then they get put somewhere more useful.
Kaladin raised an eyebrow, waiting for more explanation. Finally, he sighed and asked, why have you blocked off the courtyard below?
Why do you think?
You are a really annoying person, Zahel. Do you realize that?
Sure do. He took a drink of his honey.
I assume, Kaladin said, that you blocked off the front of the practice ground so that the rain wouldn't wash the sand away.
Excellent deduction, Zahel said. Like fresh blue paint on a wall.
Whatever that means. The problem is, why is it necessary to keep the sand in the courtyard? Why not just put it away like you do before high storms?
Did you know, Zahel said, that rains during the weeping don't drop creme?
Did he know that? Did it matter?
Good thing, too, Zahel said. Or our entire camp here would end up clogged with the stuff. Anyway, rain like this, it's great for washing.
You're telling me that you've turned the floor of the dueling grounds into a bath?
Sure did.
You wash in that?
Sure do. Not ourselves, of course.
Then what?
Sand.
Kaladin frowned, then peered over the side, looking at the pool below.
Every day, Zahale said, we go in there and stir it up. The sand settles back down to the bottom, and all the yuck floats away, carried by the rain in little streams out of the camp. Did you ever consider that sand might need washing?
No, actually.
Well, it does. After a year's worth of being kicked by stinky bridgemen feet and equally stinky, but far more refined, Light Eyes feet. After a year of having people like me spill food on it, or having animals find their way in here to do business, the sand needs cleaning.
Why are we talking about this?
Because it's important, Zahale said, taking a drink. Or something. I don't know. You came to me, kid. Interrupting my vacation. That means you have to listen to me blab.
You're supposed to say something profound.
Did you miss the part about me being on vacation?
Kaladin stood in the rain. Do you know where the king's wit is?
That fool Dust? Not here, blessedly. Why?
Kaladin needed someone to talk to, and he had spent the better part of the day searching for wit. He hadn't found the man, though he had broken down and bought some chowder from a lonely street vendor. It had tasted good. That hadn't helped his mood. So he'd given up on finding wit and had come to Zahale instead. That appeared to have been a mistake. Kaladin sighed, turning back down the stairs.
What was it you wanted? Zahale called to him. The man had cracked an eye, looking towards Kaladin.
Have you ever had to choose between two equally distasteful choices?
Every day I choose to keep breathing.
I worry something awful is going to happen, Kaladin said. I can prevent it, but the awful thing, it might be best for everyone if it does happen.
Ha, huh, Sahail said.
No advice? Kaladin asked.
Choose the option, Sahail said, rearranging his pillow, that makes it easiest for you to sleep at night. The old Ardent closed his eyes and settled back. That's what I wish I'd done.
That's a fun little interaction.
It also is genuinely good advice. Sahail being a butthole for a little while and then giving actually good advice at the end.
Yeah.
By the way, remember who he is? Who we think he is?
Yeah. What's his name?
Vasher.
From Warbreaker.
Which a lot of this, the color analogy, a lot of it seemed like him.
It's interesting.
Also choosing to wake up. That's not normally, like, he genuinely gets to choose.
Yeah.
Because he can give up his thing and go away, you know?
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. All right. So Kaladin leaves and he walks out and then starts like screaming to the sky. And the Ardents are just like there staring at him and he doesn't care. But he screams, he deserves it. Give me a reason why he doesn't. It might not be his fault and he might be trying, but he's still failing. And then he says, it's right to remove the wounded limb. This is what we have to do to, and he thinks, to stay alive. And then that makes him think of Tien's death, because that's what the guard or whoever was in charge of Tien's crew said when he sent Tien out basically to die. And Kaladin's like, ah, crap. The king is Dalinar's Tien. And so, you know, that's interesting. And we now switch perspectives again. And we are...
Put it in perspective.
We're with Adolin.
Yep.
And Adolin's like, attack. We're supposed to be attacking. What do you mean we're supposed to be attacking? And they're looking out at the Parshendi, like singing their song. And he's like, all right, we're attacking, I guess. Let's go. And Adolin, like, streams off with his horse. He's got his bridgemen people around him.
Yeah.
And they start heading out to fight. And while they're out there, like right as they get to the Parshendi, there's a strike of like a flash of lightning and Kaladin falls off of Sherblood.
Sorry. Kaladin was never on Sherblood.
Yeah, he was.
I think you mean Adolin falls off of Sherblood.
Oh, sorry. I was like, what? No, yeah. Adolin
Kaladin
falls off.
Hates horses.
You right. Adolin falls off of Sherblood. Stands up, looks at Sherblood, and Sherblood's just burnt and dead.
Lightning got Sherblood.
Which is so sad. And not Kaladin. Adolin is, like, heartbroken about this. He's very, very upset, which is 100% fair.
I mean,
like,
have you seen how much he loves that horse?
Yeah, he loves that horse a lot, and Rashadiums choose their riders.
Yeah.
More than regular horses would.
Not even more. They won't let anybody else on their back. It's if you're not accepted by them, they will not let you ride them.
And he is very upset. He's, like, grieving. But he's like, no, I can't grieve now. I have to fight. And he's like, they're dying because of this. I'm going to kill them.
Yeah.
And he runs out. And he realizes that they're able to, like, shoot out lightning. But they can't control it. Yeah. Like, they can do it, but they can't, like, fully control where it's going.
General direction is the best they got.
Yeah. And he starts, like, swinging his sharp blade. And he shouts, they can die. They're able to die. Like, they're not, like, immortal. We can kill them. And that kind of, like, spurs his
because he cuts one and their
forward.
Eyes burn.
Yeah. He spurs his people to continue attacking. And the chapter again switches. And we're now back with Shallan. And Shallan is frantically drawing. She's drawing a map. And, like, you know, there are people coming in and out. Like, scouts coming in and out. There's other scholars there, and they're just trying to frantically figure out what, like, the Shattered Plains looks like and where this place is. And they continue drawing. Pattern mentions Pattern at this point is just there, and the people see him, and they're, like, thinking he's, like, a Voidbringer and or a Voidspren. And they're like, he's not a Voidspren. He's not a Voidspren.
Well,
and Pattern basically says, yeah, I'm not. But the things within those guys, the Stormspren, those are, like Colton mentioned earlier.
By the way, the reason that Pattern's exposed is because he wouldn't stop humming once the once the lightning started, he started panicking. So she couldn't hide him anymore.
Basically.
Also, you said she was drawing and she's drawing like the eight fractals of repeating pattern.
Yeah.
Good.
And he mentions the Stormspren and that they are a variety of Voidspren. And he's like, it's not good. It's very dangerous. You need to draw quickly. Like, Shallan, hurry up. You're going too slow. You got to do this faster. It's bad. And they're not really sure. Like, I mean, they're kind of just stuck. Okay. Shallan is stuck. And One of the scouts comes over and looks at Shallan's drawing and is like, that's wrong. And Shallan's like,
no, it's not.
No. But she looks at it and she's like, wait a minute.
The person says, that one's not long and thin. That one's a perfect circle.
Yeah. And she looks at it and she's like, wait a minute. You're right. If it were that way, it would match the pattern perfectly.
No, it wouldn't. Sorry.
It wouldn't.
The guy says, that plateau is circular, not long and skinny.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, it's not. Because if it were that way, it wouldn't match the pattern. So it breaking the pattern is what she notices.
Yeah, yeah. And so the chapter skips again.
What does she realize?
She realizes that that's where it's got to be.
Yeah, the one spot the pattern is broken is probably where the Oath Gate is.
Yeah. And so we've skipped again, and we're back with Dalinar. And Dalinar's like, all right, like Renarin's over there. He's talking to
Dalinar
about what Shallan's just figured out. And he's like, all right, I need you to go and protect the scholars. And Renarin's like, I can't. And Dalinar's like, I don't care, boy. Go do it anyways. You are doing this thing. And yeah. I think that's really funny.
Yeah.
And Renarin's like, okay, fine. I'll do that. And Dalinar is like, you know, getting information. He's not fighting himself, but he's getting information from like other people about the fighting, about what's going on. Things are not going great for the Alethi. And
trying to figure out how to stop the singing.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out how to stop it. And as he's sitting there on his horse, he hears a voice that says, I am sorry that you have to die this way. And no one else hears it except for Dalinar. And they're like, what? Like, Dalinar's like, who said that? And they're like, nobody. And he's like, oh, crap, I recognize that voice. It's the voice from my visions. It's the Almighty. And that's where the chapter ends.
My chapter. By the way, every chapter of this section ends with a cliffhanger on its own. So we're lucky we get to keep reading. But this chapter is the last one for the reading. And yeah. It also ends in a cliffhanger.
Yep.
Chapter 82, For Glory Lit. For glory is lit, yo!
Woo!
It says, there is one you will watch. Though all of them have some relevance to the precognition, Moalach is the most powerful in this regard. His touch seeps into a soul as it breaks apart from the body, creating manifestations powered by the spark of death itself. But no, this is a distraction, deviation, kingship. We must discuss the nature of kingship. From the diagram, Book of the Second Death's Drawer, paragraph 15. So that's probably about the, what? It says, basically.
Oh, the, like the death rattles.
Yeah.
And them coming in.
Moalach, yeah. Moalach gives the death rattles, essentially. Yeah.
Whoever the heck that is.
Kaladin struggles his way up the
Moalach
mountain.
Moalach is Kaladin?
Moalach is Kaladin.
Plot twist.
Struggles his way. I thought we discussed that. We thought it was a spread of some kind.
I think we did.
Yeah, we discussed that during the Taravangian chapter, I thought.
Yeah.
Kaladin is going up the switchbacks to the castle. He can barely walk because his leg is burning so bad.
It's because he's being an idiot.
And then he's going to try and save the king from being assassinated.
Yeah.
You think that's an idiot move?
No,
you pro or anti this idea?
I'm pro this idea. Good job, Kaladin.
He gets to the door of the king's palace. There's no one around because they had sent them away. And there's two guards who are two of Graves's men. And he tries to get in by saying, like, I'm with Graves, it's okay. And they still won't let him. And so even injured, he busts the one guy's nose against the floor and then kills the other guy.
Yeah, it's great.
And he walks into the couch, into the room, and on the couch he finds the king lay still, unmoving.
Yay!
Perspective switch, Adolin is sweeping back and forth, killing as many as he can. And the two bridgemen who are chasing him are still alive, so Drahi and Scar are both still alive.
Yay, Drahi and Scar. Woohoo!
Woohoo! And a bunch of the Parshendi throw ropes to try and slow him down.
Yeah.
And he gets out of them, but he realizes that they're not actually trying to engage him. They're trying to stop him from making any progress.
Yeah.
They don't care. Like,
because their lightning doesn't work on shard bears.
When it hits him, actually, it powers him up.
Yeah.
And now his plate like vibrates, and also the glass he's looking through blocks out the lightning so he doesn't get flashed, essentially, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of like basically saying they're trying to keep me away from like actually getting in an engaging fight. They're just trying to like slow me down.
Yep.
And then he goes and gets a status update from somebody, and basically they're just doing okay. Not winning, not losing, just kind of okay.
Yeah.
And then they are out of reserves, but the Parshendi have reserves, and it's like half their army is back there just singing.
Yeah.
And Adolin's like, they think that's important, so I'm going to go do something about it. So he says, I'm running off in half an hour, make my force charge here. Mm-hmm. And he runs off to go do something, which, theory, what's he going to do?
Basically, I'm pretty sure it's kind of mentioned. His idea is he's going to sneak out behind them and come in from behind. And he's going to have, he's having his group, his people, distract them in a half hour, and he's going to attack them from behind while they're distracted by his people.
He's
which is kind of a genius idea.
How's he getting behind? That's the theory I want.
Oh. He kind of climb up some rocks and stuff?
Well, he kind of hints at it. I'll just tell you. It's not really a big deal. He realizes, didn't Shallan say that these mounds were buildings?
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to cut his way in and run through the buildings to get behind them. Basically run underground, essentially, until he's behind them.
Genius. Good job, Adolin.
Changes to Dalinar, who he's yelling, Dalinar's yelling towards the Almighty. He says, you're dead. You told me they had you. You have been killed. And then the voice says, I am not the Almighty. And it says, the guy says, I'm sorry. You have striven hard, but I can do nothing. Who are you? Dalinar asks. The guy says, I am the one left behind. I am the sliver of him that remains. I saw his corpse, saw him die when Odium murdered him, and I fled to continue as I always have, the peace of God left in this world, the winds that men must feel. Who is this? Who's talking right now?
It's supposed to be the Stormfather, right?
Yeah, good job. It's the Stormfather, not the Almighty.
Yeah.
Which the Stormfather is like a sliver of the Almighty, apparently. I don't know if we already knew that or not. But that's what's happening. It's a sliver of the Almighty left behind.
It's supposed to be interesting.
Supposed to be? Are you not you don't think it's interesting?
What did I just say?
You just said it's supposed to be interesting.
That's not what I meant. I don't know what Which I was sounds, trying to say, but it has not.
It sounds like you said it in the most bored voice anyway. It's supposed to be a good book. I'm supposed to be enjoying it.
I'm bored. I'm just kidding. I don't know what I was trying to say. I really don't.
A few people have died. So Bright Lord Taleb has fallen.
Yeah, not
Taleb
good.
Was the coward?
No, Taleb was
his
the Shard Bearer.
Yeah, he's
the Shard Bearer.
Captain Call is still out fighting towards where Rohion was last seen. No more reserves, nothing like that.
It's not going well for them.
It is not. But Navani uses some of her fabrials that she'd been working on to make giant like places that the rain doesn't hit, and use the different fabrial to attract rain to it.
Yep.
So Rohion's archers could actually work effectively.
Very
and
smart.
Suddenly the archers start shooting off, and it causes, basically, because the rain is still there, it's not super effective, but it causes enough of a distraction, and it's still mostly hitting the Parshendi.
Yeah, they're very good archers, apparently.
Yeah, some of the best. And then it's from there, it switches to a different perspective. But before that, this is the last time we've seen from them. From Dalinar. What's he going to do next?
Well, Dalinar's going to find Rohion. He's going to try and help them, right? So we know Shallan and her group have kind of run off to go find the
Oathgate.
Oathgate, yeah. And so my thoughts are, right when things get really, really, really bad, Shallan's going to find it, and we're going to see that, and then they're going to try and escape through it. But they're going to, like, be able to fight down there. They're going to find something in there that'll help them, like, win this battle.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Side thing.
Shallan's going to do some cool powers. Kaladin's going to show up.
How?
I think he's going to get his powers back, and he's going to fly himself over there.
How? How's he going to get his powers back is my question.
Well, I think while he's fighting for the... Well, we'll talk about this afterwards, because he's about to fight for the king.
One more thing.
Yes.
What are the singers, what are their songs going to do?
Well, their song is supposed to start a high storm.
Good. Yeah, I forgot that they already told you that.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Kaladin's point of view. He's trying to get the king out, but the king is just so drunk.
Man is wasted.
Being unhelpful. And so Kaladin is trying to like help him walk, but he can't because his
leg is like ruined.
He's torn sutures out, so he's bleeding all over now.
Yeah.
As he walks out, he finds the body of the guy he killed. And he's like, body? Where's the other one? And suddenly the other guy comes out and stabs the king. Kaladin kills him, but the glancing blow off the ribs shouldn't be deadly, but is making the king bleed a lot. And so the king is being even more unhelpful.
Yeah.
And then Kaladin's trying to help him. And then... all of a sudden, Kaladin hears a voice. Kaladin? Kaladin, what are you doing? We found the men at the door of the king's room. Storms, did you kill them? And he turns, and Moash and Graves, both wearing full shard plate and blade, are standing there looking at him and him trying to help the king. And then the freaking chapter ends.
Brutal.
Dun, dun, dun. What's
going to
happen?
So I think Cowden is going to say some words.
Which ones?
Whatever words he has to say.
Make a guess.
To
what,
become a
what is the idea
again?
Of the word? What are the idea of these words? Because the first words he said were life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination. You remember those?
Yes.
The second words he said is what is it? It is I will protect those who cannot protect themselves. Yeah. That was the second set of words. So like power up his powers.
Yes.
What are the third set of words going to be? Kind of an idea. You don't need to say the exact words.
What if I said the exact words just out of my?
If you nailed it, I would be very impressed with
I
you.
Think his words are going to be something along the lines of like helping those, like teaching those who are in like a lower, not like a lower spot, but like I'm trying to think of the right words. So like teaching others how to lead. Like I'm not like the only leader. I'm teaching others how to lead. I'm helping others learn how to lead. So something along the lines of helping Elikar learn how to lead.
Say it in a sentence. One sentence. Like how I will like.
There's no way I can do that.
Just some. Don't guess. Just say. I know it's not gonna be right, but just say a sentence. I will. Whatever.
I really don't know how to put what I said into a sentence. I struggled as it was to say what I was trying to say.
To be fair, yeah, you're right.
No, I just think it's gonna be something along those lines.
Stop dropping that freaking thing. The listeners, I was gonna try to edit it out, but that's the fourth one back to back to back. Listeners, that little bang a dang that you're hearing is Sydney being a weird. Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen. That's all I got.
Okay.
And Cowan's gonna use his powers back, Syl's gonna appear, and Cowan's just gonna absolutely kick some butt.
Woo!
And Elikar's gonna learn that Cowden can do things.
Okay.
But that's all. And then Cowden will fly himself over to where they are, and he'll kick some Parshendi butt.
Sweet.
That's all I got.
Okay. Good theories. I think that's all we need to do before it's time. Do you agree? All right. In that case, it's time to
rank the characters.
Woo!
Okay. Announcement. While we were doing the listing this time, we got a comment on our Instagram story replying to us. A comment on Instagram replying to our story that we recorded before we recorded. Because that last week we said, if you reply in time, we will shout you out. It's Han Solo again, because of course it is. Hello, Han Solo. Great job.
We love you.
Thank you for doing your work.
He said, "Rubber remix."
Because this was the episode where I was doing the dumb music stuff in the story.
Yeah. If you don't follow us on Instagram, what are you doing? You can give fun little shout outs.
Yeah.
We love, okay. I just want to say, getting messages from people that follow us and like listen to us is one of my favorite things. It always makes me smile when I see someone comment on like our post or like send us a DM or reply to our stories or even just like our stories and just interact at all.
Yeah.
It's so fun to me.
I agree.
That's all.
All right. Sydney, who we see this week?
And before every recording, you get a fun little...
dumb little thing of us.
A fun little behind the scenes of us being silly.
It should be about once a week.
That's all. All right. This week we saw... Dalinar Kaladin, Sidious Aladar, Adolin Amaram, Basig, Iali, Isazik, I don't know who that is, Lopin, Polona, Renarin, Rock, Royan, Taleb, Sabario, Shallan, Scar, Gaz, Moash, Navani, Pattern, Vathaw, Bastion, Layton, Relaine, Taka, Felton, Inadara, Kal, Lin, Zahel, Elikar, and Drahi.
The rankings this week, I'm not going to go over them because there's 100,000 characters. The rankings this week are Dalinar, Shallan, Kaladin, Navani, Adolin, Pattern, Sabario, Aladar, Royon, Lopin, Rock, Drahi, Relaine, Elikar, Gaz, Scar, Renarin, Vatha, Isakik, Bisig, Zahel, Lin, Pelona, Bastion, Layton, Taka, Felt, Inadra, Kai. That voice kills my throat. Call. In the Wish You Were Dead tier, it's Iali, Amaram, Moash, Sadius. And in the actual dead tier, it's Taleb.
Do you remember when you used to read every week them in weird voices?
Yeah, people hated it. who's the top five, bottom five from last week?
Last week's top five was Shallan, Adolin, Dalinar, Kaladin, and Pai. And then the bottom five was Ashonai, Sadius, Venli, Amaram, and Father Devar.
The top five this week is Dalinar, Kaladin, Shallan, Adolin, Navani. And the bottom five this week was Eshenai, Venli, Amaram, Father Devar, and Sadius.
Right where he belongs.
I feel like all of these are pretty self-explanatory. If you need any explanation, just leave me a DM and I'll explain to you why I put them where we did. Most of them will be like there were a list of 100 characters who all we didn't remember, so we just shoved them together in the middle of the list.
Yeah.
That's how it always is. Alrighty. Overall, thank you so much for listening. What's next week, Sydney?
Next week, you get to read chapter 83 through the rest of the book.
And you must do that or else Sydney will hire assassins and try and hit you. Hit on you. That's what I meant to say.
So these assassins won't actually kill you. They're just going to punch you in the face a few times.
Just a few times. 6 or 7, probably, at least.
Oh, that's a lot of times.
So make sure you have those read. Also, I'd like to say thank you to Alezia, that is A-L-E-Z-E-I-A on Spotify, for the use of our intro and outro, which is called Windrunner Remix. Thank you so much, Alezia.
I thought it was Windrunner Remake.
Oh, you're right. It is Windrunner Remake. We really appreciate you being here. And thank you to you, the listener. We appreciate you. We do it not because of you, but you are definitely a good help. My name is Colton Pratt.
And I am Sydney Lyerly.
I love you.
Hey!
Why are you still here? The show's over.